Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for sticking with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. That is the text line if you want to respond to anything we are discussing this morning. Obviously talking about Mike Durant and the Second Amendment, but also other things as well. We'll get into more as the show unfolds. So to come on the program, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall will be with us in the next hour. We got Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon, and we will wrap it up with 1819 News' Ray Mellick. That's in the 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. Glad we could get him in today. I know he's very, very busy, but he made time for us. State Senator Clyde Chambliss of Prattville is on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Look forward to visiting with you and getting this last legislative week started, and it's going to be a fast one. It's going to be crazy, but here we go.
Four days to go starting today. You got to wrap it up on Friday. Kind of give us I know there's still some outstanding business, but kind of give us your assessment from these last few months of what you've gotten done this final year of the quadrennium.
Well, it's always an interesting year, the final year of the quadrennium with elections coming up and that sort of thing. And we've worked through a lot of bills. We've weeded out a lot of bills and made a lot of progress, getting close to finalizing the education budget, hopefully today, and the general fund as well. And things have gone well. One of the major things that we have focused on this session is looking, because our finances are in such good shape, looking at ways that we could put money back into our people's pockets. And we've done that five different bills that we've passed that cut a total of $160 million. And we can go through each of them individually if you'd like, but that's a big thing. Five different bills that have gone through all the steps to put that money back in people's pockets, and we're proud of that.
Yeah, let's talk about this, and I know you touched on it the other night with Todd Stacey of Capital Journal, Rebuild Alabama Act. The Rebuild Alabama Act, this thought far as it has kind of been implemented, executed. What's your assessment of it? We're 3.5 years into it. I know there's some projects in your district that are getting the finishing touches put on them, but kind of as a whole, you formed a Joint Transportation Oversight Committee. What's your assessment of it, and do you feel like it's going in a pretty good direction?
Well, the Joint Transportation Oversight Committee was key in this process. It's been there, but we totally revamped it and put some teeth into it. Some requirements, reporting requirements. We have quarterly meetings and mandatory attendance at those meetings. And we have the DOT come in and give us detailed information, and then we can ask detailed questions about what's going on and why and how and where. So that's been a very positive thing. As with most everything over the last 2 years, it's been slower to be implemented than what we would like. However, that doesn't mean it's not moving, because it has moved very quickly, especially at the county and municipal level, where the projects are smaller. There are projects all over the state that are going on, but then also at the state level with the larger projects that take a little bit more time to get through all of the preliminaries, environmental survey and design, all that kind of thing. But those projects are out there and being put on the ground now, and the thing that is most important about it is every penny of that money is going towards the materials to be put on the ground, asphalt, pipe, and road dirt work, and just it's going to be a really, really good thing for our state, not just now, but for generations and generations. So it's really an investment in our future, and I feel real good about where we are with it.
The Society of Civil Engineers had a assessment of infrastructure in Alabama, and some of those marks were really low, but I guess kind of based on reading through it, I don't know if you saw that. You're in this area, in this space, but The marks had improved in a lot of categories just because of the passage of the Rebuild Alabama Act. And I think they gave us relatively high marks for our ports, but the roads and bridges still kind of needing some work.
That's right. Roads, bridges, and the ports are all seeing better marks. The ports are our highest score at a B, and we've seen a lot of investment, both state and federal, in our ports, and the ports are so important to our entire state, moving goods and services out, in and out. Roads and bridges have increased, but still have a long way to go. Our bridges are really, really aging, and a lot of them, I forget the number now off the top of my head, a large percentage of them are beyond the 50-year design life, which means, you know, they've got to be replaced. They're coming up on the end of their usefulness and will start having major problems. And that was one of the main focus of the Rebuild Alabama Act, is to get ahead of that instead of having bridges crumbling and falling, that we could replace them as they need to be instead of months or even years after they needed to be. And those two marks increased. Overall, our grade stayed the same. But that's because a new category was added of stormwater, and we received a D+ on that category. So that category kind of brought everything back down, and the score stayed the same. But the individual categories, I think every single one of them, we have over the last year invested money, or last few years. And then even this year, since the report card, it was a snapshot at the end of last year, we've invested a lot of money in trying to, you know, water, wastewater, rail, those type things to and dams to really get us where we need to be infrastructure-wise.
Now, the wastewater, that stuff, you got some COVID money you put toward those projects, and I know there was at least one rail package put into place this year, so you look for improvement in those areas too.
Absolutely, and those are, rail. We score a B, and that's great. And with the added money investment earlier this year, maybe we'll get to an A by the next report card.
All right. Well, that's something to keep an eye on. It does seem to me, though, Rebuild Alabama, the projects aren't, with maybe that exception of that big Highway 43 project Governor Ivey has initiated, a lot of them seem to be kind of, I don't know, blocking and tackling things at the county level. A lot of, maybe roads that we don't think about necessarily, but they're spread all throughout all 67 counties.
Well, and that's important because the resources are coming from all 67 counties, and all 67 counties need to benefit from that. And I would expect that over time we will have addressed a lot of these blocking and tackling, as you mentioned, some of the smaller projects. And then over time, maybe we'll see even more on the larger scale, but we have a lot of pent-up demand for years and years of underfunding our infrastructure, and that's going to take a while to catch up.
Does this become a problem? And I don't know, now that we're 3.5 years into it, you have the funding, but do you have necessarily the resources to implement? So you could pay for it, but are there enough construction companies? Is there enough material, raw material? Are the resources there to the personnel, the labor, et cetera, to get these underway? Or is there a pent-up demand, a backlog there as well?
Well, that is a good point. We do need more in the construction industry. More contractors, more employees to do this work. And, with the underfunding for years and years, those companies did not expand and grow, and new companies. So we are a little bit behind on having the level of workforce that we need in the state in the road building industry. We have great road building contractors, great bridge companies, but they're going to need to grow and even have some new companies out there long term to really get us where we need to be, and with competitive forces and the ability to do the work. It's not a bad situation, but it could be better.
Joined by State Senator Clyde Chambliss here on the program. Something else you mentioned. So there's a big push underway to pause the gas tax. They're trying it in Florida. They're trying it in Georgia. And talking to some of the governor's folks and hearing you the other night on Todd Stacey's program, that would be hard for us to do because and tell me if – kind of give me your response to this. Number one, a lot of this money is already obligated, I guess, for projects. But number two, the federal matching component, that if you roll back the gas tax, that some of the federal money that would match for every penny we as a state collect, there's a much more significant matching component from the federal government. If you paused it or did whatever, then you potentially lose that federal money as well.
Well, the matching is a major component of our program, and without that matching, we would be in very difficult situation and fall farther and further behind. But I think the thing that we have to do, and what we have done since 2010, is just really be honest about our government and where we are. We've been honest when times were really tough and we just didn't have the money to do what we needed to do. And now that times are better, we have been honest about that and said, okay, here's $160 million of your tax money that we're sending back to you, because things are really good in certain areas of our finances. But if we're going to be honest in all of those, we also have to be honest with the gas tax. There is a tremendous need there. There is more need there than even what the Rebuild Alabama Act will do. And to be dishonest and say, hey, we should just give all that back right now, that's not good government, in my opinion, and we need to just be honest about it. We are giving money back, tax cuts of $160 million in other areas of our government where we do have more resources than what we need at the moment. But infrastructure is just not one of them.
Yeah, so with the, I guess, you know, people hear record budgets, record education budget, record general fund budget, is this something maybe for a discussion we're going to have at some point, when we could talk about rolling back the tax on groceries or rolling back other areas where the state's collecting, and just to show that, you know, there are needs, and like, look, the gas tax, I get it. It's a very small component of that overall price per gallon. But I think there does seem to be the public, whenever we talk about this, they seem to think it's, I don't know, somewhat tone deaf not to acknowledge that there could be a remedy here at the state level.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute in detail. There are two components that we're talking about of the increase in gas prices. One is the Rebuild Alabama, which is 10 cents per gallon. But the federal policies that have been put in place, such as killing the Keystone Pipeline and many other things, have led to $1, $1.50, up to $2 of increased cost that we get zero benefit from. That money is going overseas, going away from us. The 10 cents, the smaller portion of that $1.50 or whatever the number is today, that money is an investment in infrastructure for our future and will pay dividends to us for many, many years to come. So I'm all about looking at the policies and being honest about the policies of being energy independent as a nation, getting the Keystone Pipeline going, other things that help us with our energy independence, and focus on those things, because those are, you know, 10 cents versus $1.50. Those are 15 times larger than what we're talking about on the Rebuild Alabama. So let's focus on the major things and try to get us where we need to be with those policies that would really make a significant impact.
Finally, wrapping up on this, you know, just your generally your expectations for these last 4 days of session. is, you know, it always gets interesting once you get past the budgets. You no longer need the BIR. Things tend to move a little faster. But do you expect any surprises or bombshells within these last few days?
Well, the last few days, there's always surprises. There's always frustrations because certain legislators, me included, have worked hard to get our bill to a certain point, and there's only so much sand that can go through the hourglass, and especially this last week or so, and it gets frustrating. But that's part of the process, and that's the way our forefathers designed it. And we work through it every year, and we come back and kind of let those bygones be bygones and start over the next session. But it'll be an interesting week, good week, and we'll get the people's business done before we leave here on Friday.
Senator, you've been very kind to come on this morning. Like I said, I know you've been very busy, but it's good we got in touch, and let's talk again soon.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Take care.
You too. Cal State Senator Clyde Chambliss, it's good to hear from him. Let's get a break in here. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. I'm a roll tide.